Here's blue period. For anyone who met Mayor Anspach after his success, his occasional lyrical outbursts on the subject of his blue period may only be tedious, but for those of us who actually remember the ceaseless whine of paranoia that constituted his utterances at the time, Anspach's rhapsodies on the character-building properties of poverty are infuriating. Most of what he says about those days is sheer fabrication, but two things are true. He was poor, we all were, and he was painting all the time. He never mentions, perhaps he doesn't know, a detail I find most salient, which is that his painting actually was better then than it is now. Like so many famous artists these days, Anspach does an excellent imitation of Anspach. He's in control, nothing slips by him. He has spent the last 20 years attending to Anspach's painting, and he has no desire ever to attend to anything else. But when he was young, when he was with Maria, no one, including Anspach, had any idea what an Anspach was. He was brash, intense, never satisfied, feeling his way into a wilderness. He had no character to speak of, or rather he had already the character he has now, which is entirely self-absorbed and egotistical. He cared for no one, certainly not for Maria, though he liked to proclaim that he could not live without her, that she was his inspiration, his muse, that she was absolutely essential to his life as an artist. Pursuing every other woman who caught his attention was also essential, and making no effort to conceal these often sleazy and heartless affairs, well, that was part of his character. If struggle, poverty, and rejection actually did build character, Maria should have been an Everest in the mountain range of character, unassailable white peaks towering above us all in the unbreathably thin air. But of course she wasn't. She was devoted to Anspach, and she had never stopped weeping. She wept for years. Often she appeared at the door of my studio, tucking her sodden handkerchief into her skirt pocket, smoothing back the thick, damp strands of her remarkable black hair, a carrot clutched in her small white fist. I knew she was there even if I had my back to her, because the rabbits came clattering out from wherever they were sleeping and made a dash for the door. Then I would turn and see her kneeling on the floor with the two rabbits pressing against her, patting her skirt with their delicate paws and lifting their soft, twitching muzzles to her hands to encourage her tender caresses, which they appeared to enjoy as much as the carrot they knew was coming their way. My rabbits were wild about Maria. Later, when we sat at the old metal table drinking coffee, the rabbits curled up at her feet, and later still, when she got up to make her way back to Anspach, they followed her to the door, and I had to herd them back into the studio after she was gone. I was in love with Maria, and we all knew it. Anspach treated it as a joke. He was that sure of himself. There could be no serious rival to a genius such as his, and no woman in her right mind would choose warmth, companionship, affection, and support over service at the high altar of Anspach. Maria tried not to encourage me, but she was so beaten down, so starved for a kind word, that occasionally she couldn't resist a few moments of rest. On weekends, we worked together at a popular restaurant on Spring Street, so we rode the train together over and back, sometimes coming home just before dawn on the D train, when the cars came out of the black tunnel and climbed slowly up into the pale blush of morning light over the East River. Maria went so far as to lean her weary head against my arm. I didn't have the heart, or was it the courage, ever to say the words that rattled in my brain, repeated over and over in time to the metallic clanking of the wheels, "Leave him, come to me." Maria, I judged, perhaps wrongly, didn't need her life complicated by another artist who couldn't make a living. I had the restaurant job, which paid almost nothing, so the tips were good, and one day a week I built stretchers for an art supply house near the Bowery, where I was paid in canvas and paint. That was it. But I lived so frugally I was able to pay the rest and keep myself and the rabbits and vegetables, which was what we ate. Maria had another job, two nights a week at a Greek restaurant on Atlantic Avenue. Because she worked at night, she usually slept late. So did Anspach. When they got up, she cooked him a big meal, did the shopping, housekeeping, bill paying, enthused over his latest production, and listened to his latest tirade about the art establishment. In the afternoon, Anspach went out for an espresso, followed by a trip downtown to various galleries where he berated the owners if he could get near them, or the hired help if he couldn't. Anspach said painting was his vocation, this carving at the galleries was his business, and he was probably right. In my romantic view of myself as an artist, contact with the commercial world was humiliating and demeaning. I couldn't bear to do it in the flesh. I contented myself with sending out pages of slides every few months. Then, when they came back, adding a few new ones, switching them around, and sending them out again.